Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Here's a remarkable exchange on all of this between Democratic Congressman Barney Frank, chair of the Financial Services Committee, and Republican Senator Jim DeMint on ABC This Week yesterday that really encapsulates the ideological debate now taking place. We come in here after DeMint had said that tax cuts, not so much spending, are the real road to recovery.
The complete absence of regulation in the financial area has, I think, been a disaster. And I think we're back to where we were when Theodore Roosevelt and Woodrow Wilson stepped in, or Franklin Roosevelt. But beyond that, the notion that everything is solved by a tax cut, of course there are sensible tax policies you could have, but there are public needs we have in this society.
Sure.
That cannot be accomplished by a tax cut. No tax cut builds a road. No tax cut puts a cop on the street. No tax cut educates a child in the way that ought to be done. So this only tax cuts at a time when I think we have a deficiency in some areas that are important for the quality of our life is a big disagreement.
Well, George, we have programs. I mean, we're reauthorizing our highway bill this year.
At too low a level.
And well, let's talk about making it a higher level, but let's don't say it's a stimulus when it's a government spending plan. And all of these things, the needs in our society, education, these are things we debate every year.
Spending can be stimulus. I don't understand what you think stimulus is.
This is the largest spending bill in history, and we're trying to call it a stimulus.
Republican Senator Jim DeMint, Democratic Congressman Barney Frank on ABC This Week yesterday. And now some analysis of the stimulus as it moves to the Senate from David Sanger, New York Times, Washington reporter and author of The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power. Maybe you heard him on with Leonard last week to talk about the book. His front page news analysis in The Times yesterday, which is what we'll talk about, was headlined Reinvention or Recovery. Hi, David. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thanks very much. Always good to be with you, Brian.
And the central question you ask is, can the government fashion a fast and efficient economic stimulus while also seizing the moment to remake America? And the question itself implies, you know, that we were told we would get a stimulus bill and we're getting something much bigger. Is this a bait and switch by Obama or the Democratic Congress? Same question I asked Senator Menendez.
You know, it's also the question at the heart of that debate that you just heard between Senator DeMint and Congressman Frank. I was on that show with them, and I have to say I thought it was a really striking example of just this ideological divide. And the question, let me put the question a little bit differently. Instead of is it bait and switch, the question is can you get both at once? So the Democrats are clearly arguing here that you can. The Democrats in the House are. The Senate, I suspect you're going to see, is going to trim back quite significantly from what's in the House bill. And the really interesting question here is President Obama, who came to office promising a broad set of changes, energy policy, education, health care, things that have been on the Democratic list for a long time. And the question I was trying to raise in this story is this the way you go about it? I mean, if you do this in emergency legislation, which is what a stimulus package is, you're basically pouring all these programs in and passing it as fast as you can. If you slow it down in the usual operations of the House and the Senate, you hold hearings on each one of these. Is this the right education program? Is this the right cops on the street program? Is this the right energy program? And there's a lot of debate back and forth, and the whole thing moves slowly. Obviously, those people who have come in to the House and with the new majority that the Democrats have, think they want to get started right away. And the stimulus plan is a way around those usual rules.
So Obama has been hoping for big bipartisan votes for his agenda. He got zero in the House. We'll see this week what he gets in the Senate. Is he disappointed? Is he not meeting his own expectations? Or did he think that this was the necessary road to getting to some new politics in Washington eventually?
You know, this is the problem that every new president faces coming in. And you'll remember, if we had been talking 8 years ago this week, what would we have been talking about? We would have been talking about the No Child Left Behind bill and President Bush's promises that he would get a lot of Democrats on board. And he did with the initial bill. And my guess is that you're going to see President Obama get a number of Republicans in the Senate on board with this stimulus bill. Not many, but a number of them.
And
does that make it bipartisan? Maybe not, and it may not last for very long.
Do you think that there are specific items that could produce a substantial Republican vote for the bill in the Senate, or is it not really about the content of the bill? I mean, most of the analysis I heard about the zero House vote among the Republicans is that this may be popular, you know, with some of them. They may think it's the right thing to do, but they want to fire that first shot across the bow as the opposition party. And also, they're all from safe Republican districts for the most part, because that's the way the House is carved up. When you're in the Senate, you have to run statewide, and there are enough people in a lot of states that voted for Obama and have Republican senators that they're going to be forced into it. So is it just about counting numbers by the politician, counting heads in their states, or is it, you know, is there some content here that actually might make a difference?
I think there is some content here, Brian, and I think it has to do with the question of, are we seeing 1933 all over again? That's their concern. Their concern here is that in the guise of a stimulus package, you're seeing significant social engineering and remaking of government programs. And while, you know, everybody's got their own numbers for this, there seems to be somewhere between $200 and $240 billion in what you would call permanent spending in this bill. And that would be not along the lines that even some of President Obama's own economic advisors were discussing months ago, when they talked about the need for a stimulus program to come in, be very large, but also be short-lived because you don't want to run up the deficit. There's one additional issue that hasn't been debated yet.
But before we get to that issue, I want to follow up on what you just said about Obama's own economic advisors, because I heard a conservative commentator over the weekend wonder if Obama really supports the House bill, or if he thinks it's over the top and will come in and triangulate like Clinton did between the liberals in the Democratic Party and the Republicans and look like the moderate. Do you think that might be in the works?
That's where my money is, but we haven't seen it happen yet, and he hasn't declared himself.
Okay. What was the other issue you wanted to raise?
Well, the other issue is this. You know, we're all sitting around with this bill as if the people who make the decision here are the Congress of the United States, the President of the United States, to some degree the voters, though the voters have recently spoken. There's another set of players who we don't want to discuss that much because we don't want to acknowledge their role in it, but it is central, and that is the countries and the people who will lend us the money to go do this. When Franklin Roosevelt did the New Deal in the 1930s, whether you thought it was a good idea or a bad idea, we financed it here at home.
Right. Americans bought the bonds.
Americans bought the bonds. Sure. Here we're asking China to buy the bonds. We're asking Europeans to buy the bonds. We're making the case that the United States is still the safest investment out. And it may well be. But if they are persuaded that this permanent spending in here is actually going to lead to permanent deficits, they're going to demand a significantly higher interest rate. Now, right now, you know, interest rates are pretty low. Nobody's sitting around discussing this. But the fact of the matter is they're going to get a vote, and their vote is going to be on the totality of the bill, too. And it's going to be an assessment that the market is going to make about whether or not this increases the risk and, therefore, they should have an increased return. And Americans don't like the thought of this, but that's what happens. You know, when you go off to go to the bank and say, I want to add 4 bedrooms to my house, and they look at your revenue and they say, you know, maybe Brian, we ought to scale this back to 2 bedrooms because that's what we're willing to lend you at the current rates. And we could see a little bit of that going on.
Pretty scary thought, depending on how much China and other countries want to pull out. By the way, we will be asking that question to a number of New York City business leaders on a special broadcast tomorrow, folks. We will be doing our show from the Crain's New York Business Future of New York City Conference in Midtown, and we will have many prominent business leaders from New York, and we'll be talking about that overseas investment issue, among other things. So tune in tomorrow for that when we take the show outside the studio. David Sanger, last question. Does it all come down to politics as usual? I mean, listening to Jim DeMint and Barney Frank, you know, this is 2009. That could have been 1999. Is it politics as usual, ideologically as well as strategically, despite all the hype and the change of president?
Well, it's politics as usual for them, but it's not as politics as usual for the rest of us, because the stakes at this point is the length and depth of this recession. And therefore, you've got a real issue to debate, and that issue is, do you want to make this bill all about the most targeted, the most efficient way to pull us up out of the nosedive that we're in? And or do you want to use this as a moment to do something broader with America? And so far, the answer you're getting from the House is yes. And the answer you're getting from the Senate, I suspect, will be maybe. And the answer you're getting from the White House so far, well, they haven't said. And that's what to watch for this week.
David Sanger, chief Washington correspondent for The New York Times. His front page news analysis in the Sunday paper was Reinvention or Recovery. His brand new book is The Inheritance, The World Obama Confronts and the Challenges to American Power, published by Harmony. David, thank you very much for doing this.
Thank you.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're actually going to stay in the Senate after a break and see how Senator Gillibrand is doing after her first week in office. Her appointment was controversial. How about her first days on the job?